Casey Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The South struggling to clean up after a deadly winter storm left record snow and now plunging the region into a deep freeze. More wildfires in California, 30,000 people evacuated north of the city, where the Hughes Fire burned more than 10,000 acres. And for a time, there was a fire overnight along the 405 freeway near the Getty Center. That fire now out. Russia reacting after President Trump's warning to Vladimir Putin that Russia will face more U.S. sanctions unless Putin agrees to a peace deal with Ukraine. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov this morning saying, quote, unfriendly actions against Russian assets in the West will not go unanswered. Meanwhile, in Davos, Switzerland this morning, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte.
We cannot allow in the 21st century that one country invades another country and tries to colonize it. We are beyond those days.
Wicked Conclave and Emilia Perez among the early favorites ahead of the announcement of Oscar nominees this morning. This is ABC News. Police in Ohio saying they arrested four men from Chile accused of breaking into the home of Bengals star quarterback Joe Burrow. They were caught during a traffic stop when cops say they found several items that could have been taken from Burrow's home. Car giants Hyundai and General Motors are working on a new deal. Hyundai says it's in talks with GM to build commercial electric vehicles that would roll out under the GM brand. And a bizarre sight on an Australian cruise ship chalked up to a mistake. On board a ship off the coast of Tasmania, some of the crew showed up on deck during a costume event wearing what looked like KKK robes.
A spokesperson for the cruise line says the housekeeping staff didn't have much to work with when it came to materials for a costume, so they decided to dress as upside-down snow cones. The cruise line says the crew members were unfamiliar with the KKK and were horrified when told what their costumes looked like.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert reporting the cruise line is also apologizing. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks headed back to Milwaukee today after nearly a foot of snow around New Orleans shut down the roads and the airport. Last night's game against the Pelicans called off due to the weather. It'll be rescheduled later this season. Tonight, the Bucks host the Miami Heat with 41 games left on the schedule. Milwaukee the half point of the regular season, 13 games before the All-Star break. Damian Lillard on holding onto that fourth place spot in the Eastern Conference.
In this closing stretch, we got to have that more than anything else because it's going to come down to where our mind is. If we do, you know, I think we'll go into the break feeling good about ourselves, and I think right now we're trending in that direction.
College basketball, UWM last night with a 95-79 victory over Wright State in Fairborn, Ohio. Milwaukee now tied for second place in the Horizon League, two games behind Cleveland State. And former Packers defensive back Terrell Buckley named the new head coach at Mississippi Valley State. Buckley played for seven different teams in the NFL after being a first-round pick for Green Bay in 1992. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Netflix is raising its rates again by $2.50 a month, regardless of plan. This comes despite the streamer adding 18 million new subscribers in the fourth quarter of 2024. Why would they raise their rates while adding so many subscribers? You'll love this. Netflix says they have to raise their rates to make more content. Yes, they think we aren't very bright. I would have thought they were using that extra money to fix buffering issues from celebrity boxing matches and NFL games. Suits is proving to be one of the most bingeable shows on TV. It now has a popular spinoff called Suits LA. Clever. The show has just announced a slew of guest stars who will appear during the first season, which includes stand-up comedian Patton Oswalt, Fear the Walking Dead's Maggie Grace, and Brian Baumgartner, who played Kevin on The Office. Suits LA premieres February 23rd on USA. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 8 above for a high this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5 to 10, and that'll keep the wind chill factor hovering around or a little below zero here for a good chunk of the day. Tonight, 10 below. Tomorrow, breezy, becoming cloudy, 18. We're back to 25 with light snow on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below zero.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, January 23rd, 2025, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the app, or by podcast or watching us on social media. Thank you for getting your Thursday morning started right here. I got a question for you. Did you ever think a Milwaukee Bucks game would be canceled by a snowstorm? Well, sure. Let me ask it again. Did you ever think a Milwaukee Bucks game would be canceled by a snowstorm in New Orleans? There's your sports. That was all I was going to tell you about anyway for today. It was a Bucks game in New Orleans that they canceled because of the terrible weather down south. I'm looking at the current temperature map right now. It's 25 in New Orleans, 25 in Mobile, Alabama, 28 degrees in Houston. These are all on the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of Mexico, kids. Panama City, Florida is at 25 degrees as well. It's just going to be another cold, miserable day for those folks. There's still snow and ice on the roads because they don't have the machinery to clear snow off the roads, and it's not warm enough to melt yet. So count your blessings, I guess. I mean, I know some people would like to have more snow here for recreation, but I mean, this is in keeping with what we're used to. Compared to down south, not so much. No rescheduled game for the Bucks yet. Coming up on the show today, we will be talking about Governor Tony Evers and his State of the State address that he delivered last night to a joint session of the legislature. There wasn't a great deal of new ideas beyond what he would normally tell you, which is pretty boilerplate, good progressive stuff. Why don't we watch out for our kids? How about if we promote education? How about if we try to reduce the amount of gun violence out there and so forth? So we'll review all of that, as well as the reaction by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who delivered the Republican response to Evers' address. And then we'll get the response to Robin Voss's response here with two of our guests, State Senator Jeff Smith from Eau Claire and State Representative Kaylin Haywood from Milwaukee, the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader. They will be joining us. We'll also be joined by Mark Rice of the group Wisdom. It's a nonprofit group, and he's going to be talking about their efforts to continue seeking accountability for the conditions in Wisconsin prisons, making sure that things get better, and also looking for those alternatives to incarceration, which can also save some taxpayer money if provided to, you know, the right people and the right programs. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki later this hour about the governor's address. We will talk to Luke Mathers. We'll talk to meteorologist Brittany Merlot for more about that forecast as well, and see when things might maybe warm up here a little bit more for us. In the meantime, a reminder that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we love partnering with them, and you can find out what we do at Up North News by heading to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner and get our daily newsletter that way. You can join us on Up North News Radio by calling 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also use the Civic Media app to reach us by phone or by text, or you can put a comment on social media. We are live on the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, and the Up North News YouTube page. And if we see a comment there, we might pop it up on screen and respond to it as well. All right, back to those temperatures. A little cooler than along the Gulf Coast, but, I mean, we're used to these. It's 11 right now in Chippewa Falls. It's 3 below in Hayward. Amory's at 2 below. Wausau is at 2 above. La Crosse is at 6 degrees right now. Wisconsin Rapids, 2 above. Green Bay, 8 above. Madison, 8 above. Waukesha's at 14 degrees right now. And at Radio Park in Racine, it's 19 degrees, and that's where we find one Greg Bach, who is riding gain, as the old broadcast engineers used to call it, making sure the sound comes out fine the other end. How's the sound out by you?
The sound sounds great, Pat.
Oh, you're right. There it is. That is some good sound coming out of
that is game. Some hearty sounding happening right there in the old ear holes.
That's right. I might have to take a break here just to do some like yoga or something for State of the State. And there's a couple of other occasions where you get in this chair at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I didn't leave it till a little after 9 o'clock last night.
Good.
And I feel stiff as a book. My neck is so, you know, what they talk about, if you work at your desk too long and if you're hunched over a computer.
Yeah.
And I feel like the poster child right now for that.
And as you're saying all that, I'm like, all right, Greg, sit up straight, straighten your back. Get
posture.
Good posture. Good. Put your shoulders back. Oh, that does feel nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, and ever since that wretched backache that I had back in November, I have really tried to be much more aware of the need to be more bendy and to, you know, not neglect those little stretches and exercises. But yeah, yesterday was just one of those days where there's just so much going on. And I'm going to be regretting that a little bit later on. But, you know, you have those days. Every job has those days where it's like, all right, hunker down. Here we go. This is going to be a long one.
Yep. I totally agree. And as we get older, the twinges and the pains increase.
Oh yeah. Yeah. For a lot of jobs, I'm thinking back to some of my past ones before getting into journalism and broadcasting, places where you work, where you have to take inventory.
Yes.
I remember some places where like inventory day was like either once a year or once a quarter, and it's the worst. you go through everything on the shelf. You also find things. You're like, oh, that's where that part went. Okay.
There's my lunch.
Right?
Because it was always, you know, I won't name them by name, even though they're no longer around. Their name rhymes with Schmlockmusters, and it was always, all right, we're doing inventory, so we're staying late, and late is just late. There's no, like, we're going to be here until midnight or 1 or 2. You're just going to keep going until someone of authority is done, and you're just holding boxes, shooting them with the little laser gun, and then you're bending over, and you're up and down and up and down.
And at some point you stop and you go, wait, did I do this one?
Or am I
about to double count it? You know, I've done it there. When I worked at Valley Fair at the amusement park in the Twin Cities as like a high school job, you'd have to warehouse like all the little stuffed animals that you give away in the games, all the teddy bears and everything else. And I don't miss having to do inventory at all. I'll take a day of, you know, just having to listen to politician speeches and write it up, to which I can hear a lot of people going, really? I'll take the inventory. I'll take that anytime.
Have at it. Yeah, seriously. Yep. Yeah, no, thank you. I'm glad. I can't say that will never happen in my life again. I think I'm past that point, but I'm thankful for now that I am.
Yes. Yeah, without a doubt. Let me turn to a little bit of the governor's speech here. We'll have quite a bit to say about it through the next couple of days, or through the next couple of hours, rather. And let's answer the obvious question. Why? Why a state of the state address? Why review it? What does it mean to you? It means if you glean nothing else from this show, it's that state government is probably the one level that gets the least amount of attention, and yet in many ways can do the most that affects your daily life. Obviously, there's a lot of attention on the federal government, especially nowadays. But ultimately, beyond some things like Social Security and Medicare and defending our country and delivering the mail, but there's a whole lot of things that they do and talk about that just don't affect our daily lives. Local government, God bless anybody who serves on local government. I mean, you get the call from a neighbor about a barking dog at 2 a.m. or whatever the case may be. And you're in many ways administering a lot of things that you get through state government and through the federal government, and also levying some local taxes. But it is actually the level of state government that should be getting more attention because of the way that it can prioritize or not prioritize things, ranging from whether you have clean water to whether the roads get paved to whether you get some assistance, you know, affording child care, mental health care, safe streets, all of those things. So that's why I always urge more people to pay attention to state government. It's why I ran for a seat in the legislature and served there, because of, you know, my appreciation for what it can do. And that level of government, like all levels of government, lives by this one basic line you hear me use all the time. Those who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And there are a whole lot of people these days in elected office who hate government. Anything that government does in their mind is bad. Well, consequently, it makes them completely ineffective. And they're nothing more than, you know, the naysayers in the peanut gallery, whereas other people actually want to do the work to serve you, to serve the people in their state and in their hometowns. They know that they are collecting tax revenue from you through the state income tax, through sales taxes, through other fees, and then it's their job to responsibly send it back out the door in ways that provide a level of service that you should expect. And we expect a certain level of service here in Wisconsin. We do not want to be Alabama. We do not want to be Kentucky or any of the other states that have such an anti-government view of things that there are reasons why they're last in the nation for things like education outcomes or employment levels or anything like that. Sure, their taxes are low and their government is small, and it shows. I'm not saying that you have to put taxes and spending through the roof. I'm saying find the right level. And for years, we were known for having a rather Goldilocks level of quality of life here. Then the Tea Party showed up, and from that point onward, it's been a real tug of war about whether state government is going to be effective and responsive and efficient with your tax dollars, or if essentially they're going to waste your time, as this legislature has under Republican control for the past decade, where every other year they take a 9-month paid vacation. You pay them $57,000 a year to do next to nothing for a big chunk of their term in office. And when they are in office, they again don't actually want to get work done so much as throw spitballs at the people who are doing the work. So the target of the spitballs is Governor Tony Evers. And every year he gets before the legislature. And, you know, is it an arcane, antiquated tradition? You could argue that. Do the governors of both parties who make these speeches, do they make it too big of a production number? You could argue that too. Maybe it should be shorter and more businesslike. I'm not here to debate that. I'm just here to say that Governor Evers took the responsibility seriously, put together a list of priorities, delivered them to the legislature last night, and Republicans will probably put a whole bunch of it in the trash can and try to do as little as possible. We'll go through all those points bit by bit right after this break. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time.
Oh, that sounds good. But no, we cannot stay in bed all day to pass the time. The time is 6:21. That's the great Carol King, and she will kick off today's history lesson coming up in 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. So State of the State addresses often get a theme. Governor Evers has always had some kind of a theme. There's been the Year of the Worker, the Year of Mental Health, the Year of Clean Water. This time it's the Year of the Kid, in his words. A lot of the elements of Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address dealt with kids and supporting them in some way, shape, or form, because it's not easy being a kid, as it is. It's, you know, even less so when you're facing some barriers, obstacles, and hurdles in front of you that you didn't put there and that you certainly by yourself can't get rid of, but the responsible adults can. And Governor Evers, being a responsible adult, a former educator, former state superintendent, and now a second-term governor, is looking at these kids and saying, what can we do to improve our kids' lives, make sure that they're healthy and prosperous and stay here in Wisconsin, and raise a family, create some jobs, and more. So under the Year of the Kid, he's got a few things here. And again, you could put together your own list if you were governor of what you would do for kids. Certainly what I would put at the top of that list, and the governor mentioned it as well, stop underfunding our schools, our public schools. Oh, Lordy, is it easy for Republicans to point to a big dollar amount and call it a waste? Well, yeah, it's a big dollar amount, but it's also a big number of kids in the state. And that dollar level, ain't getting it done. In fact, state aid has not kept up with inflation, has not kept up with basic inflation for 16 years. So our school districts fall further and further behind. And so it's no wonder that there are some test scores that are in question and some achievements where we're backsliding. The answer is not to criticize the schools and to punish the schools. The answer is to look at where are you putting that money, and are you putting the funds where they belong? Are you staying competitive with good teachers and equipment and everything else that kids need to learn? So naturally, that was a big part of his speech. So it was lowering child care costs, and let's play a little clip of him talking about the Child Care Counts program and, again, trying to explain the importance of making sure that supporting, if you're going to support kids, you got to support the families. And even employers can play a role in supporting childcare and making it affordable.
A 2023 report showed childcare costs in Wisconsin can consume 18% to 36% of a family's household income. Those parents are under 25 and have two kids in childcare, it's closer to 70%. Childcare providers across Wisconsin surveyed last fall had 48,000 kids on wait lists, with nearly 60% of providers having unutilized capacity, often because they needed more workers. Our state budget will, once again, include sustainable, ongoing funding to make sure our child care accounts program permanent, including investing over $500 million aimed at lowering child care costs, supporting this critical industry, investing in employer-sponsored child care.
Because again, there is a role to play for private employers. They actually, many of them want to have a role in this because they want to find good employees and keep them, not lose them because of expensive childcare. And so again, the governor's looking to provide incentives. The governor talked about free meals at school. We've talked about that many times. More mental health resources. He talked about reducing gun violence. And he talked about that not just about kids, but overall in society. The need for things like bringing back, you know, waiting periods and putting in place some basic measures like red flag laws, the kinds of things where somebody who might present a hazard through an adjudicated process in court has their guns removed so that they can't be a threat to themselves or others. Here's how the governor put it.
No one wants to change this proud part of our heritage, and we won't. But we do not have to choose between respecting the Second Amendment or keeping kids, schools, and streets and communities safe. We can do both. And the truth is this: the vast majority of Wisconsinites, including gun owners, agree. So let's start with two basic policies we already know Wisconsinites support. We can take easy, simple steps to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people. Let's ask everyone to play by the same set of rules. Let's close the loophole so that everyone goes through a background check, no matter what kind of firearm they are buying or where they are buying it. And the second thing we can do is pass a red flag law to give law enforcement and loved ones the tools they need to get guns out of the home when someone is a dangerous risk to themselves or others.
And again, these are measures that some 70 to 80% of Wisconsinites support, but that a handful of Republican politicians are preventing. And as the governor put it, we need to stop quibbling about the last school shooting and do everything we can to prevent the next one. But the same goes for gun-assisted suicides as well. On healthcare, he talked about measures to reduce prescription drug costs, put price caps on insulin, look out for price gouging, protecting the Affordable Care Act, restoring Roe v. Wade for women's healthcare rights. And I would guess that a late addition to the speech dealt with immigrants because of the inauguration of Donald Trump and his ugly anti-immigrant views. And so the governor reminded folks that immigrants have always been a part of Wisconsin history, and that our industries, our largest industries, have always relied on immigrant labor for Wisconsin's good fortune, and that we should be working toward a bipartisan solution in Washington, D.C. Now, here's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss really quick, and then I'll sum up the rest of his Republican response.
Everyone, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent, should be able to rally around the idea of fighting inflation, better educational outcomes for our kids, and punishing violent criminals. We heard from tonight, Governor Evers, a long list of things, partisan demands in a way that doesn't bring Wisconsin together.
Now, here's what doesn't bring Wisconsin together, is doing things that divide Wisconsin based on financial lines. Here's what I mean. Here's the short version of Robin Voss's Republican response. We're going to try again to cut taxes for the rich, even though we know it's going to get vetoed. Your public schools suck, though I won't admit it because we've underfunded them for 16 years. And we're going to keep targeting and vilifying migrants because it's way easier than going after the corporations that pollute our water. It would be better off for all of us to embrace the year of the kid
And especially with new maps, I'm hoping that some of those newly elected Republican members understand that helping kids is also good politics. Joe Zepecki has more next. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday morning. Congress has yet to pass an updated farm bill. Right now, we're riding along on extensions of the 2018 version. But dairy margin coverage is still an option for dairy producers. DMC is a margin protection program offered through the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Enrollment in this program starts on January 29th. Extension dairy economist Leonard Polzin has the details.
Right now, the program is a continuation of previous year's programs, right? So what that means is that since we don't have a new farm bill, we're looking at simply continuing with what we had. So what that means on the farmer level is that we're not updating any production histories. We're not having any changes to programs. It's status quo, right? But that doesn't mean that you need to not enroll. You still need to enroll. You still need to go to the FSA office and make sure you get all of your paperwork in order with them. So sign-up period starts January 29th and runs through March 31st. And again, that sign-up takes place at the Farm Service Agency office.
Leonard Polzin is a dairy economist with the Division of Extension, encouraging producers to consider the Dairy Margin Coverage Program for risk management. Stick around for a look at our morning commodity prices coming up.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session, and don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Thursday from Chicago, grain markets are pushing lower. December new crop corn is down a penny at 458.5. November new crop soybeans are down 2.25 cents, trading at 1044.5. And July new crop wheat is trading 4.5 cents lower at 573.75. The Class 3 milk prices are mixed on a Thursday morning. The February contract is up 3 cents at $19 a hundredweight, and the March contract is trading 7 cents lower at $18.94 a hundredweight. That's what's happening in the marketplace on Thursday, January 23rd. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 8 above for a high this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5 to 10, and that'll keep the wind chill factor hovering around or a little below zero here for a good chunk of the day. Tonight, 10 below. Tomorrow, breezy, becoming cloudy, 18. We're back to 25 with light snow on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 2 below zero.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram will join as we talk with Attorney General Josh Call in the Wisconsin lawsuit against the administration. Also, is the DNC prepared for what's next? Bill Press has thoughts. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
6:34 now on this Thursday morning. Joe Sopecki is with us now to talk about Governor Evers' State of the State address last night. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. You know, late night for both of us here with these speeches that go on. How long did the governor's speech go? A little over an hour?
It was a full hour.
It was a full hour.
He didn't waste any time getting started either.
No, and I wasn't expecting that. I kind of thought he's given this speech enough times that maybe he'd kind of shorten it and go, you know, how long do you really want to talk to the brick wall that is, you know, Robin Voss and company? But do you think that he suspects that there might be some things in his budget proposal that could pass, or at least some of it get passed, because the Republican majority isn't as big as it used to be?
I think he does, and he understands that the sausage making doesn't take place during the State of the State address. This is one of those probably outdated by now traditions that you have to try and do some things with. You bring the band in to liven things up at the end, which is always fun. But the deal making is possible, and we know that because even with Democrats deep in the minority, this governor has been able to deliver a lot of wins for Wisconsin. And you heard about some of them tonight. Tax cuts for working families, for middle class families, a grand bargain on shared revenue and the Brewer Stadium. Some of those weren't in the speech, but if this governor has been able to work with a Republican overwhelming majority, darn near super majority, imagine what he's going to be able to do when it comes to working with now two chambers that are eminently flippable in 2026 with these new fairer maps. He's been very effective at getting a lot done when you compare his track record to governors of other states who are working with legislatures controlled by the other party. I mean, it is a really remarkable, you know, list of accomplishments that he's been able to get done.
The one that I cited beforehand, having no idea what was going to be in his speech, turned out to be one that he brought up, and that was, you know, healthy school meals for all, you know, school lunches and school meals overall, you know, making them free for all kids, because school lunch debt just shouldn't be a thing. Yeah. So to hear that it was in the speech, again, tells me that if you're looking for, you know, what win-wins could there be? And Robin Voss isn't going to allow a lot of his members to give a lot of win-wins, but that might be one that comes up. Did you have any others that you would give better hope on than, say, you know, a 48-hour waiting period for guns? I know the governor put in what he thought he had to put in.
Yeah,
but that's not passing.
I want to talk about guns, but let's get there later, because you asked a specific question about, is there room for Republicans and Governor Evers to strike a deal on some of this?
Yeah.
And I thought the most promising part of the laundry list in that regard was under the guise of Year of the Kid, and specifically in the area of mental health. You and I have talked about this before. Yeah. The governor knows what families across Wisconsin know. It doesn't matter if you live in a city or a rural community or an exurb, mental health challenges facing our kids are very real. And it doesn't matter what size school district you're in. In every school district across the state, I guarantee you, there is a family who is struggling to find the help that they need for a kid who is struggling with mental illness. In the last budget, Republicans took an axe to what the governor wanted to do to provide more supports in schools, and it ended up being $30 million. That's not enough. There is still a huge demand for these services and not enough supply. The governor told us he's going to propose 10xing that to get $300 million unlocked so that schools have people in those brick and mortar buildings who are able to help kids that are struggling. I don't know that it's going to be all $300 million, but if Republicans are smart, they're going to do more than they did last budget, because the mental health crisis facing our kids does not know race or gender or the political party that your parents vote for. It is hitting everybody. It is very real. And everybody listening to this right now either is related to someone or knows someone who is struggling with mental health and or has a child doing the same. We got to get this right. And so hopefully with smaller majorities for Republicans, with more of these Republicans in tough districts, they will find ways to get bipartisan wins. That is ripe for the doing. It is so easy to do.
And you could tell that the governor, by reminding them all of their former colleague, Jonathan Brostoff, about the importance of trying to reduce suicide, which includes reducing the availability, the quick availability of firearms. And I understood you want to put a face on this. It's just that I have seen that even, my goodness, Joe, I even if it was Robin Voss's best friend, whoever that may be, I still think he would put on that stoic face and say, well, Second Amendment. But the governor did what he thought might be the best way to approach legislators, to say, look at one of our own.
I think there's no question that that was the most powerful moment of last night's address. I would argue that it was the most powerful emotional moment of any state of the state or state budget address that Tony Evers has given since he became governor.
Oh, without a doubt. He was choking up.
And to see for the only time that night that any Republican stood up was to honor Jonathan's wife and parents. I think that means something. And I take the governor at his word. And I think the most important phrase, he said it more than once, is we can do better than doing nothing.
Yeah.
He literally addressed it in the speech by saying, we're not going to agree on everything. Nobody is asking either side to acquiesce to every demand of the other side. But we have to have this conversation. And for example, the SAFE initiative that he talked about, where if someone understands their own mental health challenges and knows that they could get to a place, if they backslide, where they might be a danger to themselves or people that they love, where you can self-register to say, don't let me buy a gun, when they're of clear mind and they're thinking about the future, that's not taking anyone else's liberty away, okay? And so maybe that's the place where you get the win. But for the governor to come back time and time again and say, doing nothing is not an option. We can do better than doing nothing. Listen, maybe only five Republicans heard it, but five would be enough. And so you cannot hold an office like governor and not try and throw your hands up. Other people get to do that. But when it's your job to protect the state, to figure out how to lead and how to move the needle a little bit, that's what you have to do. And I thought he did a very effective job of it tonight. Maybe the most effective that I've seen in his seven state of the state addresses.
And a line shortly before that really stuck with me as well. We aren't here, he said, to quibble about the semantics of the last shooting. We are here to do everything we can to prevent the next one.
Yeah. And that's got to be the sentiment. And listen, it drove me crazy watching that Republicans couldn't even stand up and applaud that before he had even got to what we can do, that they wouldn't stand and applaud for we can do better than nothing when it comes to the next school shooting and the one after that. Maybe he gives Republicans every damn thing they want. Harden the schools, armed guards outside. You don't think Republicans would vote for that? And I don't think we want that. And I don't think that's the right way to approach this, right? But the notion that we just have to live with this, it is not acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable to anybody in a position of public trust. And the governor put his best case forward for doing something. And we should applaud him for that.
He also wanted to do more, not just for violence prevention, not just for mental health, for education overall, but also for childcare. He again made that a centerpiece as to how, you know, affordability problems are very real for families and for young families here. I did see, and I'm sure it was a bit of political theater, that when the governor said he wanted to invest over $500 million in child care accounts, you know, Voss made this face like, oh, what? Gosh, that's so much money. But then we compare it to the tax break that he would like to give to the highest brackets. And it seems to me that there might be some middle ground to be found in there someplace. There, like you said, there's a deal to be made.
There should be a deal to be made. And like, this is ridiculous. And it exposes who Robin Voss and Republicans work for. They work for people who write campaign checks and don't struggle to afford childcare, even though it is more expensive than a state school. Pat, you're older than I am. When I was going to state school, it was eminently more affordable than it is today. And the childcare, and I was a childcare kid. I went to kinder care, right, in the late 80s and 90s. It didn't cost what it costs now. It is killing working families. And the inability of families to be able to figure that out, it's not their fault. It's the fault of the people writing the campaign checks to Republicans who, they don't struggle to pay for childcare. Maybe they struggle to buy their third home, but that's a different lived experience than the people of Wisconsin are experiencing right now. And I'm sorry to get fired up, but like, this is real. People don't know what to do. And not everybody has the J.D. Vance solution to be like, well, just ask your mom or dad to do it.
Right.
Have a cousin come by and watch. Well, maybe they got to work too, man.
Speaker Voss showed who he's working for in his response, and I was able to sum it up in just three quick sentences. So here's shorter Robin Voss. We're going to try again to cut taxes for the rich, even though we know it'll get vetoed. Your public schools suck, though I won't admit it's because we've underfunded them for 16 years. And we're going to keep targeting migrants because it's way easier than going after the corporations who pollute our water. So, I mean, in a nutshell, it's tax cuts for the rich, keep shoveling taxpayer money to private schools, and protect the corporations that pollute our water.
It was also Voss's response was so much more political. And I understand political communications and messaging. And, you know, in 5 to 7 minutes, you're going to have to be a little bit sharper. But the difference in tone and style is the difference in tone and style between the Speaker of the Assembly, who leads all Republicans in the state legislature, both houses, and the governor. The governor was talking like the grandfather he is, not, you know, being controversial, not putting stuff that only 20% of Wisconsinites support. The stuff that he was talking about and the way he talked about it. And here's the tell. Because I was doing some media last night, I got a copy of the speech as prepared for delivery. Mm-hmm. And there was a line in it that said, we can put petty politics aside. When the governor gave the speech, he took out the word petty. You know why? He's not a petty guy. He understands that Republicans have a job to do. And he doesn't go to the divisive rhetoric like calling the other side petty. But then when it's Robin Voss's turn, who is always playing politics, he goes right after it. And, you know, it's a learned behavior. And Republicans think that they can all be Donald Trump and that we don't live in a 50-50 state where people really do expect you to get along and to, if you disagree, do so agreeably. And I think that's going to ultimately come home to roost for them in the elections next year when Democrats have a real opportunity to flip control of both chambers and give Wisconsinites who have been waiting for nearly 15 years for a Democratic majority to do common sense things like, oh, I don't know, reinstate the 48-hour waiting period for handgun purchases. It's finally going to be within reach. And that's what those of us on the left have to remain committed to and fighting for, no matter how frustrated, angered, saddened, or hurt we feel by what Donald Trump and his administration in Washington, D.C. are doing to people and communities that we care about. We got to stay engaged. We have to get up off the mat. Now is the time. Be somebody who runs towards the fire and is part of the solution. That is who we are. It's who we've always been. And it's who we need to be for the next couple of months before a big election in Wisconsin and for another year and a half after that, so that we can finally put a check on some of what is happening within our politics.
I feel like you've just now inspired at least a half a dozen people who are now going to run for the legislature next year, just because of what
good,
you said.
We need them.
So we do indeed. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
More after this. You're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While President Donald Trump's January 6 pardons and executive orders have dominated the news, state legislatures have been hard at work on both pro-voter and anti-voter legislation. Democracy legislation tracker Voting Rights Lab counts 432 election bills pending in 32 states, with 100 of those bills restricting voter access, while 205 expand it. The Wisconsin Senate and Assembly have approved Senate Joint Resolution 2, which would put a proposed voter ID constitutional amendment before voters in November. A Pew Research survey found 81% of Americans support a requirement for government-issued ID to vote, despite its impact on the poor, disabled, and elderly. A New York Senate committee moved three pro-voter bills forward, authorizing county voting centers in addition to local precincts and requiring the state to join the Electronic Registration Information Center, or ERIC, to help keep its voter rolls clean. Another bill would criminalize spreading misleading election information intended to suppress the vote. An Arizona Senate committee endorsed SB 1011, making changes to mail-in early voting rules, including when and where ballots may be returned. The Virginia House approved a constitutional amendment to automatically restore rights to people formerly incarcerated for felonies. We'll be following all these bills in the months to come. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocent is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presumed innocent, but since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
My life has been a tapestry of rich and royal hue. Everlasting vision of the ever-changing view, a wondrous woven magic in bits of blue and gold.
This would be the title track from Carole King's blockbuster album, Tapestry, which on this day in 1977, it had been out for years and years at that point. But in 1977, it set a new record for the charts, 302 consecutive weeks on the Billboard Albums chart. Some 30 million copies sold to date. Hits like I Feel the Earth Move, So Far Away, It's Too Late, You've Got a Friend, Will You Love Me Tomorrow, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. You can just see why so many people wanted to own that album. If not an album, then the 8-track. If not the 8-track, then the cassette or the CD. And now nothing. It's all ethereal. It's all just in the air. You have a digital copy. What does that mean? Well, you bought some air, and maybe we'll send you the music, and maybe we'll accidentally lose it. I don't know.
I went to the music store last week, and they digitally implanted Tapestry into my brain.
See, why are we joking about that? We're not that far away from it. Let's see. Let's mark the birthday of the late Anita Pointer of the Pointer Sisters, born this day in 1948. More than a few hits in the 1980s there, I'm So Excited, and Pink Cadillac, and more. On this day in 1849, Elizabeth Blackwell was awarded her MD by the Geneva Medical College of Geneva, New York, becoming the first female doctor in the United States. On this day in 1965, the number one song was by Petula Clark.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can't always go downtown.
Well, we've just got all kinds of women's accomplishments here between Carole King and Elizabeth Blackwell. Petula Clark, by hitting number one this day in 1965, became the first British female singer to reach the top of the singles chart in the rock and roll era. Went to Pat Clark for Downtown.
And what a solution to life. Just go downtown.
Just go downtown. Downtowns were so different then.
Just get dumped, Pat. Go downtown.
Yeah, go. Just walk around. You're going to be around people. It's like the original town square because there weren't these things called the burbs yet.
No.
I loved downtowns back in the day when I was a kid. Just walk around. Look, like Mary Tyler Moore, throwing your hat up into the air. More women doing cool things. Madeleine Albright on this day in 1997 became the first woman to serve as United States Secretary of State. Let's see. Let's head over to Robin Zander, the lead singer of Cheap Trick, born in Beloit this day, 72 years ago. On this day in 1957, American inventor Walter Frederick Morrison sold the rights to his flying disc to the Wham-O Toy Company, which later renamed it the Frisbee. So the Frisbee was taken over by Wham-O this day in 1957.
Wham-O sounds like the shell corporation, shell name for an evil corporation in a movie. Where the Wham-O Corporation.
Wham-O! It's not like it was. What did we say yesterday for CBS? It started off as the Columbia Phonograph Record System,
exactly.
Or something like that. It's like, no, it's Wham-O.
The names back then were so literal. They like and named everything they did. And now it's like, what are we going to call it? Wham-O.
Yeah. It occurs to me, I've talked many a time about just not having a right shoulder anymore. I can't really throw. It occurs to me it might be Frisbee. I wasn't like much of a ball player, but man, I loved to play Frisbee. You know, we'd catch with the kids and play 500 with it and all kinds of things. I threw a lot of Frisbees. That might be the reason for this.
Did you ever play Frisbee golf?
I did not. And I would have liked to have, but that the craze kind of missed me.
Yeah.
At that point, I was kind of in parenting and everything else. So,
well, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, maybe once I get that rotator cuff replaced with get a bionic replacement, then I'm going to be dangerous.
It comes with its own copy of Tapestry when you do that.
That's right. On this day in 1969, Elvis Presley went into a small studio in Memphis and recorded this hit.
Okay, this is weird, Pat.
Yes, sir.
I have had this song stuck in my head for like 5 days.
Really?
And I couldn't remember the name of it because I'm not a huge Elvis fan. So yeah. I'm like, what is this? And I kept starting to sing it for people who were like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, oh, man. Here it is.
And here it is, Suspicious Minds. It would be Elvis's last number one hit in the U.S. It was a huge comeback for him back in 1969. Now you know.
There you go.
Okay. Let's see. On this day in 1999, Eagle Eye Cherry's debut single peaked at number 5 on the Hot 100.
Do you want to hear some nerdy music trivia?
Sure.
Eagle Eye Cherry's sister is Nena Cherry, who had the song Buffalo Stance back in the late 80s. It's like a dance song. And their father was experimental jazz, I believe, cornetist or saxophone player, Don Cherry.
Don Cherry.
Not the easiest jazz to listen to, Don Cherry's music. Not the easiest.
Nope. Let's see. On this day in 1986, the first Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class was announced. Little Richard, Chuck Berry, James Brown, Ray Charles, Sam Cooke, Fats Domino, the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis. That's the first Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class. That is your Mount Rushmore of Hall of Fame. This is National Handwriting Day. This is National Clashing Clothes Day, Rhubarb Pie Day, and most importantly for me, Sticky Toffee Pudding Day. I'm not kidding, go to the Cayman Islands, go to the Calypso Grill. I'll tell a story about the Calypso Grill and Sticky Toffee Pudding when we come back. There's a tide in northern Wisconsin. Details coming up. You're up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Trump threatened to imprison local police if they do not help the feds with his deportation raids. I fought back when Trump tried to do this the last time. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. New wildfires in Southern California. More than 50,000 people forced to flee or are under evacuation warnings. The Hughes Fire burning north of Los Angeles, and a fire breaking out along the 405 freeway near the Getty Center, forcing evacuations in Bel Air, and that fire is now out. Extreme weather along the Gulf Coast. 10 inches of snow fell in New Orleans, setting a new record. Temperatures below freezing this morning from the Big Easy to Tallahassee, Florida.
The Arctic air causing problems in the north, too. Ice jams in the Allegheny River, the most in 5 years, prompting flood concerns in Pittsburgh.
You ever seen cars covered in ice like that?
Not like that, have you?
In Dearborn, Michigan, a water main break coating everything in ice.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. The Kremlin reacting after President Trump threatened more sanctions for Russia unless it agrees to a peace deal for Ukraine. A Russian spokesman saying the sanctions threat, we don't see any new elements here, end quote. This is ABC News.